our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've heard me say that our Reformed faith can be summarized in two words: grace and gratitude. We hear the word grace all the time. We sing about God's amazing grace. We hear that our salvation is not earned, but the free gift of God's unmerited grace. So what do we do with all this grace? How we respond to God's grace is where our free will plays a strong part. That is where gratitude comes in. We have the freedom to choose how we respond. Much of how we respond is based on our chosen focus. The same set of facts can lead to very different conclusions. The classic example is a glass of water. The same glass can be described as half full or half empty, depending on a person's chosen focus. The Apostle Paul was a prolific writer of letters to congregations he had founded. In most of his letters, he begins with a statement of thanksgiving, stating his gratitude for the people he was writing to, specifically saying he's grateful for their support, their faithfulness, and the ways they had demonstrated Christian behavior. In this letter to Timothy, Paul's expression of gratitude is somewhat different. He thanks God for his call to ministry. In today's scripture, Paul begins the 12th verse with, "I am grateful." Paul goes on to explain that he is grateful because of the grace he received in spite of his behavior, where he was a blasphemer, persecutor, and man of violence. Paul's implication is that all of us should recognize that the grace we have received is regardless of our former behavior, thus engendering a profound sense of gratitude. All of us should develop a spiritual practice of concentrating on those things that are good and beautiful and worthy of gratitude. That is not to say that there aren't negative things which vie for our attention. It is to say that with all the negativity around us, it is a worthy practice to seek positivity. I was fortunate to be raised by a father who was an incurable optimist. One of his favorite singers was Bing Crosby, and he loved the song "Accentuate the Positive." The song was written by Johnny Mercer after he heard a sermon by Father Divine. The song was nominated for the Academy Award for the Best Original Song at the 18th Academy Awards in 1945 after being used in the film "Here Come the Waves." Crosby and the Andrews Singers sing this: "You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene." To illustrate the last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark, what did they do just when everything looked so dark? "Man," they said, "we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, then otherwise, pandemonium's liable to walk upon the scene." So an attitude of gratitude or a focus on counting one's blessings is supported by Scripture beyond today's reading. Paul says in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And Paul says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Paul not only encourages gratitude in worship, but in every aspect of our lives. He goes on to say in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him." Consequently, gratitude should be integrated into every aspect of our lives, reflecting a heart transformed by Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:3 that he thanks God every time he remembers the believers in Philippi. This reflects an appreciation for fellow members of the body of Christ, which helps strengthen the family bonds we have in the church. While we do not always see eye to eye in the church, we should be grateful for the love and support that we have for each other. Gratitude is a means whereby we shift our focus on our own self-interest to a focus on God's interests. Gratitude creates in us an attitude of humility because we realize that all that is good comes from God, not from our own efforts. Through gratitude, we recognize God's work and presence in the world. As we practice the presence of God, we are drawn to prayer and a deeper relationship with God. Living lives of gratitude, we show others the importance of God in our lives. When we reflect that we attribute all good things to God, we bear witness to our faith and to our reliance on God. This is a subtle but powerful witness that shows the world its need for God in their lives as well. Gratitude is not a new thing invented by Christians. The Israelites expressed their gratitude to God for delivering them from slavery in Egypt, a remembrance which is central to their religious observances. Moses instructed the children of Israel to give thanks for the land God had given them at every meal. Many of the Psalms are songs expressing gratitude. Chief among them is Psalm 100, which states in part, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. End quote. Gratitude expressed through thanksgiving is central to who we are as Christians. At least once per month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion or Eucharist. The Greek word from which Eucharist derives means thanksgiving. Our monthly observance is a reminder to thank God for Jesus Christ and for all He has given us. I'd like to close with the words of one of our great hymns of the church. Now thank we all our God. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, to keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills of this world in the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed, who reign in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. In case you're interested, that is in our Glory to God hymnal at number 643. So may each of us learn to live every moment with gratitude to God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Having heard